Would you like to reach our film and TV review podcast audience? Do you have a product or service of interest to film and TV home consumers or followers of the entertainment industry? Have a film or show production to publicize? For affordable price plans for all budgets, get in touch and find out about our introductory advertising options. Reach our audience of film and TV viewers and visit our site contact page at filmandtvreview.com, or you can email us at business@filmandtvreview.com. Reach out today. Welcome to filmandtvreview.com. Catch the latest film, TV, and streamed show reviews every week. The views and opinions expressed by the authors and those providing comments are theirs alone. They do not reflect the views, opinions or position of filmandtvreview.com or their respective parent companies or affiliates. Filmandtvreview.com makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information in this program and is for entertainment purposes only. Episodes may contain adult humor and language. For full terms and conditions, see filmandtvreview.com.
Hello there, and welcome to a special edition of Film and TV Review. I'm joined today by Erickson Dickens, award-winning filmmaker, actor, and business owner based in California. We talked to Erickson about his experiences and working process in documentary filmmaking. His short documentary, Two Magic Drops, charted Rotary International's work in India, the polio vaccine program for trying to reach 100 million children in those regions, and was featured in 9 film festivals and winning Best Documentary in 2. We talked to Erickson about his methods in filmmaking, storytelling in general, and his background in psychology, in the art of storytelling, and how it informs his process in documentary making. And we'll also look at how this has evolved with his work as co-founder at Platinum Peak Inc. that produces legacy documentaries and legacy storytelling. But more on that later. First, Erickson, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with, I imagine you've always had a passion for storytelling and narrative. Where did that come from? I guess that's innate, or where did that start?
Yeah, no, it was always innate for me. Like, I didn't grow up amongst a family of creatives or storytellers. There's something about stories in general that just always really appealed to me. I would get so caught up. I remember as a kid watching movies, I'd get so emotional and I'd feel that emotion. And I just, from a young age, felt like stories in general were just like kind of a universal language amongst everyone, regardless of your culture, your background. Stories are such an amazing way to relate to people. And I fell in love with it as a kid. I used to write a lot as a kid, write stories. My brother and I would go out, pick up a camera and then make little movies and costumes and props, the whole nine yards. And I don't know, it was inherently just something that was always a part of me, and just it blossomed over time and it just evolved.
Were there any particular you found influences growing up and evolving, like writers or other filmmakers that you particular kind of catalyzed this?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I loved character-driven films, like about the person. I was never really too into like sci-fi movies, or I liked stories really grounded in reality. And I think that's just where I got like kind of my interest in psychology as well. What makes somebody who they are as a person, what do they go through, the milestones in their life that shape them. I remember watching Martin Scorsese films as a kid. It's pretty intense films to watch as a kid, some of them, but I really just liked how gritty and real they were. I liked Quentin Tarantino. I remember I watched Pulp Fiction as a kid, and that really hit me too, just how it was like structured and just the grittiness of it, the people who they were, the dialogue. I can go off on a tangent on all the different types of, but yeah, I really always love stories about people, and who they are.
I imagine, but your formative training is that you had is in psychology, or you actually studied that. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm self-taught when it comes to filmmaking, but I got my bachelor's degree in philosophy, and then I got my master's degree in clinical psychology. So I'm a thinker. I like to think about the bigger questions and, who we are as people and our purpose here. And honestly, though, like both of those fields, I feel like set me up in a way, as a more powerful storyteller. Like I said, in terms of filmmaking, myself and my brother, we learned from just doing trial and error, watching a lot of YouTube videos, tutorials, that kind of stuff, reading a lot. But in terms of like psychology, for example, if you understand psychology, you understand people, you know how to relate to people better, you know how to engage an audience better, you understand the different nuances of what makes somebody who they are. And so I don't know, I think that really helped me in terms of crafting more compelling stories, I guess you can say. And then also just like the research side of things, especially when it comes to documentary films and getting to know the subject, and psychology and philosophy are, they can be pretty dense, a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of organizing material and stuff, and drawing inferences and connecting the dots. And it transferred over pretty well, I think, for what I do now.
So it's, I mean, it, would you say kind of like it does inform your style of filmmaking? So it seems you've gravitated towards character-driven pieces, but then you kind of lean more towards documentary. Would you say? I mean, that's where you kind of like seem to have shifted into.
Yeah, we kind of found our niche as a company with documentary films, specifically legacy documentaries is what we call them. When we were in college, my brother and I, we went to the same college out here in California, and we got back into filmmaking at that point in time, and we made a documentary about our father, our late father. He passed away when we were kids, and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we wanted to create something that memorialized him and really tested our storytelling abilities. At this point in time, we were just making little videos, montages, little music videos. So we wanted to do something much more robust and fleshed out. And we figured this was a topic that was near and dear to us. And so we just kind of went for it. We learned a lot throughout that experience. We created a 80-minute documentary about my dad's life. We interviewed about 30, 35 different people. And it was a really great experience for us. And so the business minds, we started thinking a little bit on how we can implement this as a vertical into our business and actually start selling this to other clients, other people who might want their legacies preserved in this type of film. And so, yeah, I mean, it really allowed us to hone in on a subject, really understand who they are, what makes them tick, their history, their obstacles, their successes, the impact that they've had, and just tell a very fleshed out, robust story for clients, companies, foundations, whatever that might be, to have something that memorializes them. So we've been able to kind of niche down on that.
I mean, it's seems a bit of a balancing act when you're doing a documentary, especially something as close to the heart as your father, a celebration of his life, but then also your toughest audience, I imagine, will be the friends and family watching it, who know him best. How was it that received when they first saw it? Because they would know what he's like. How was the reception to that, and how was it a learning experience for you? Because that was doing a documentary as such on that. That kind of level. So how did that, what did you learn from that, and how was the reception?
For sure. It was a really cathartic experience, almost therapeutic in a sense. I felt very close to my dad being able to do that. And I learned a lot about my dad from interviewing, like you said, like friends of his, other family members. I learned stories that I hadn't heard before. And then when we premiered it, we actually premiered it in our hometown. About 300 people came. My dad was pretty well known in our community, small town in the Central Valley in California. But it was everyone kind of had the same takeaway. They felt like they were closer to my dad, and they all learned new things about him that they didn't know. It was a neat experience, and looking back on that ordeal, that whole process, it's just, I felt, for me personally, like I almost got some closure. He died when I was 14, so obviously I was pretty young, and doing that just, it gave me a sense of closure in some aspects, I would say. And that's something that we've kind of carried on into these other films for other clients, is it almost gives them a chance to kind of relive certain memories, work through maybe suppressed emotions, whatever that might be, all working together towards a common goal of preserving the story of a loved one, a family member, a friend, whoever it might be.
How does that help in maybe approaching subject matter with your interviewee, which can be quite sensitive? And
right,
I mean, does other tools that involved how to kind of get to that place relatively quickly, or for them just to be comfortable enough to open up? What tools do you utilize or has found useful?
That's a great point, because earlier on in the process doing this, like we realized that this is a kind of a big responsibility to take on somebody's legacy, right? And you can't just show up the day of without building any rapport beforehand, press record, and ask people these questions that could evoke a lot of trauma. You know, you never know what you might get. And so as a therapist in a psychology setting, you have to really build rapport and trust first and foremost. I think it's known that the number one indicator of success in terms of therapy is the relationship between the client and the therapist. And so I almost view it as that going into these stories. I take a lot of time beforehand to really get to know each subject, who they are. We do a lot of preliminary Zoom calls to really get to know their part of the story. And warm them up, in essence, right? You have to earn that trust. And I've learned that sharing about my own life a little bit, you know, the loss that I experienced, what I've gone through as well, it helps them trust you a little bit more and relate to you. Disclosure is what it's simply called, I guess, in the therapeutic setting. Validating, you know, that's simple, but it's very real. When people feel heard and validated, they're more likely to be more open with you, be more vulnerable. I had to do, in order to graduate, I had to spend a year counseling people to get enough hours to be able to graduate. And so I learned a lot from that, just holding the space with people. I was always a naturally empathetic person. I wouldn't be doing what I do now if I wasn't naturally empathetic, but just holding the space with people, listening to them, and letting them know that we're here to bring the best out of you, right? We're here to make you sound as good as possible. You know, sometimes you turn on the camera and people will freeze up and, you know, what do you mean editing? You're going to edit out all the bad stuff, right? Like all that stuff that some people just don't really think about, but when you're a filmmaker and stuff, that's a given, right? But just communication. Communication is really fundamentally, I think, what it comes down to, communicating with the clients and subjects, and just letting them know that you're there to bring the best out of them.
Take you back to just, you know, you were involved in the Two Magic Drops documentary for Rotary International. How did you get involved in that? Who approached who, or did they come to you, or did you go after them? And what made you choose that as a subject?
Sure. So my family, they're like lifelong Rotarians. And so there was this trip. I couldn't go, actually. I couldn't actually go on the trip because I was in grad school at the time. So my brother, my business partner, Soren, he was able to go, and the group he was going with was, out of Oakland, California. That's where he was going to go with that group. They're going to go to India for 2.5 weeks. And the director at the time for this group out of Oakland, I forgot his exact title, but he was on the board of Rotary International, and somehow it got brought up that we were filmmakers, and the idea got thrown around between my brother and this director out of Oakland about potentially documenting something. And so they took it to the higher ups or whatever. And from there, like it was a go. So my brother, he couldn't take much equipment. Like he pretty much rolled with like a camcorder and a Rode mic attached. So it's like, production wise, it didn't look amazing by any means, It was very gritty, you know, quick zooms, very documentary style, which I personally like. Kind of like Peter Berg, the director of like Friday Night Lights, Lone Survivor, that kind of style. But yeah, my brother went over there for 2.5 weeks, and I mean, it was I can't experience I didn't experience it myself. I edited the whole project when he brought all the footage back, the hours and hours and hours of footage that I got to comb through with a smile on my face. But it was remarkable, the footage there and what he saw and the lives that he was able to help. And I mean, we decided to just make a 15-minute film because it's more digestible, it's easier to share, but we could have made a 8-part miniseries. We had so much footage, and that's kind of the challenge sometimes as a filmmaker is killing your darlings, right? And just, so much gets left on the editing floor. But yeah, it was a great experience, and we ended up entering that film to some festivals and got some awards there, and it kind of gave us that reassurance that we were onto something here.
I was going to say, I mean, I imagine most of the work is was done at the editing suite, you going through the material. How do you kind of like filter all that material, I'm sure hours, into some kind of a narrative thread that maybe the viewer can get a hold on? Because I guess from what you said and from maybe what resonates most in it, because I did see it, is probably at the viewpoint of one, you look for a voice that's giving a very honest and emotional, context to a very big problem. So how do you shape it, pinpoint or know what to look for?
So we kind of like developed this, I don't know, say curriculum, but like a backbone for our films. We call them the seven storytelling pillars. So essentially, we explore the history, the passion of the subject, the process, the obstacles, the achievements, the impact, and then the future goals, future aspirations, and whatnot. And we found that using that as like a guide helps us fill in the gaps. It helps us craft the story pretty well in terms of what questions to ask and the information that we need. Like if you watch the Two Magic Drops film we did, we pretty much just use the director as the main source of the information, the primary A role. And then we tried to do a lot of show not tell. So we did our best to kind of create a mood, a feeling, try to evoke a certain sense of feelings just by the visuals that we showed. Sound design was also big. It was a challenge because we just were rolling with one camera. My brother just had one camera. He wasn't lobbing anybody up. So it was a challenge to kind of create a coherent, I guess, story based on what we did have. I mean, the footage itself was very striking, very meaningful. It'll evoke a lot of emotions in itself, I feel like, but it was just like my job to kind of craft it all in a sense that there's a coherent storyline and what's the overall message here. And the overall message was, about people's purpose and finding their purpose and looking back on thinking, what is my legacy? What have I done? And I think it actually ends that way. I think the speaker, the main speaker, he says something along the lines of like, our job is to make you think about your legacy. So again, it kind of falls into that category of a legacy documentary, not necessarily for a specific person, but more so Rotary International in this case as an entity.
Yeah, I mean that is the kind of way you take home from it. It's a short film, but then you kind of that if it's inviting you to actually act, even from seeing something like that, it's kind of like it's trying to give meaning and what gives you meaning in your life and makes you question those things. So it's a powerful point.
I was just gonna say, I think that's like a super important and valuable when it comes to not just stories, but films, films in general. Watching something, I think the most powerful ones are the ones that you walk away with either thinking a different way or thinking more about something more specifically or taking certain actions. I mean, I feel like media in general is just such a powerful tool, something that can really create a lot of momentum in people.
Just as a general question, would you say most of your craft for documentary, most of it's done in editing for you? Is that where you find your film mostly? Is that what's the most important part of it? Is it when you're there looking at the moment, looking for a story? You're almost panning for gold while you're on location, I imagine, or wherever you're filming, but then. Do you not worry about that too much and think, maybe I can't find it now, but maybe I'll find it in the editing suite? Do you worry, does that worry you when you're maybe shooting something, you know, you're on limited time and maybe a budget?
Right. That's a great question, because like documentaries fundamentally are like so run and gun. You go into it with like a general outline, or you know what you kind of want to get, and you have the questions prepared, but you really never know what you're going to get. So we like to say it's like when we're on production, we're actually filming, we're gathering the ingredients, and then we get into the editing room, and that's really where the cake is baked. And that's kind of the fun challenge of documentaries, is like you never really quite know where the story might go. You never know what someone might say or what you might just pick up by chance that just adds a whole other ball, a whole other element to the ball game. But to answer your question more specifically, we do go into it with a pretty good idea of what we need to get, what we want to get, but we're very adaptable. And, we've had some films in the past that started one way and then in the editing room, ended up a little bit different than what we expected. And that's just the cool part of documentary filmmaking itself. Keeps you on your toes for sure. But I do think, like, overall, it's like, yeah, editing is kind of a documentaries that are kind of an editor's ball game.
So I mean, it seems like the seeds of this kind of like evolved into what you have now, which you do at Platinum Peak Productions, is kind of this legacy storytelling. So can you elaborate, what kind of people have reached out for this, or to you,
Sure.
or you reached out to?
So I'm not gonna lie, like this is it's a pretty high touch sales process, because a lot of people, when they're going to an agency for video work, whatever it is, they want to see some kind of tangible ROI. Like maybe they have issues with recruiting, or they want to run ads to convert. And so we do that on one side of our agency, but this specific offer, this legacy documentary, it's more of an intrinsic ROI. It's something that they can have to pass on to future generations. They can keep something that really solidifies, memorializes who they are, their journey, et cetera. But some of the clients we've worked with in the past, I mean, they've ranged from clients celebrating an anniversary for a company per se. We did one for a cowgirl, a rodeo star in our hometown, which was really neat. We did one for a gentleman who migrated to America in the 70s with $50 in his pocket. He came from war-torn Lebanon, became a very successful businessman here, raised five kids who are all successful entrepreneurs. Their estate wanted a film made about him. They knew a lot about him, but they didn't really know details about his life. And his kids really wanted something that they can pass on to their grandkids, and something that really explored the depths of their father's journey. Somebody that experienced an insane amount of adversity. And so we got to spend about 2 years with his family, really getting to know them, and created something that I know brought the family together, and it was able to teach the family about their dad. Like they learned a lot about their dad. They didn't know that he was born under an olive tree because his mom couldn't make it back to the house in time in rural Lebanon. Just those cool little details that come up. We did one for an entrepreneur who's developing an AI technology. He wanted to be able to leverage this type of documentary to attract investors, let his partners, potential partners, know about who he is, not just his product, but what differentiated him as a person, where he came from, his values, because oftentimes investors, they look past the product and they want to know who they're actually investing in. So he was able to leverage that film for that purpose. Currently, we're doing one for a family foundation out of Texas. So we've been on production for that for the last few months, really getting to know their family and their journey. But yeah, I mean, it really depends on the subject. It varies from time to time, but pretty much essentially people that feel a sense of pride in what they've accomplished, or a family member that they want the documentary done for.
What's been the kind of feedback from family members who maybe they specifically asked you for a legacy, or maybe a memoriam for a family member that's either living or passed away? But what are they most being surprised that they got back, or you found quite proud that evoked in them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can give you one example. One person said, This was cool to hear. She said that she felt like she was kind of like watching her funeral when she watched the film, because she was hearing all these things that people were saying about her that really showed her in a good light, and how much they cared about her and how she'd impacted their lives. Things that you might generally don't hear very often. It's one of those things where at somebody's funeral, you'll have a dozen people stand up and say all these amazing things about you, but you're deceased, so you're not hearing them. So this documentary, like, it allows them to kind of really get that insight on the impact that they've had and what people think about them. This one man, after he said it was done, he said, "I feel like I can die. I feel like I can die and I would be at peace because my story is solidified and it's told and it's out there. And my grandkids will know what I did, the values that I had in my life that allowed me to get to where I wanted to be. And hopefully these are values that they will carry on in their lives and their kids." So it gave him just an overwhelming sense of tranquility, peace. But it varies. I mean, it really varies. But the general walk away is another thing is cool too, is they'll watch this film and some feedback we've gotten is like, wow, I never really saw my story that way. Like I lived it, I went through it, but seeing it all in a linear, coherent story like that is really neat. It allowed me to think about things that I hadn't thought about, from point A to point B to point C, watching it all unfold. Wow, it opens up a different perspective, a different line of thinking that maybe they hadn't thought about. So it ranges, but it gives me just that sense of fulfillment, like that intrinsic fulfillment, being able to provide this not only a product but like an experience for these people to go through it. It gives me that, it fills my cup, right? I'm glad that I'm able to do this for a living. It's my passion, telling stories and then seeing people respond positively to them and impact their life in some way.
Well, it comes to about putting one else questions. It's so what are your next projects, or what do you see got on the slate coming? We gonna stick with legacy, or are you gonna do explore other types of documentary, or what's on your slate, or you would love to do, or as an ambition?
So right now we're pretty focused on the legacy documentaries. We feel like we're hitting the cusp of it pretty well. So that is what we want to focus on, continue to focus on. In terms of specific projects, right now we're creating a 2-hour film for that family foundation out of Texas. Still have a few more months of production, but editing a 2-hour film is going to be it's going to be fun, tedious. But that's our primary focus right now. Aside from like filmmaking, I guess, and documentaries, I do some acting stuff as well. Something I kind of fell in love with as another creative outlet of mine. And I'd love to get involved a little bit more in that, audition more, maybe get in some bigger budget indie films or something. But started taking lessons back in like 18. My coach, actually, he's Zac Efron's old coach, because Zac Efron is from the area I live in. So it's been really neat just embracing that different type of creative medium. That's a goal of mine on the future.
Oh, well, forward to maybe you hitting the big screen. Who knows? Thank you for joining me. That was quite give us just a little insight into your process in documentary filming and in legacy filmmaking. So, thank you. And for you at home, I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this film and TVReview.com episode. Catch the latest film and TV reviews, together with regular episode content from the world of film and TV every week. See you soon. Would you like to reach our film and TV review podcast audience? Do you have a product or service of interest to film and TV home consumers or followers of the entertainment industry? Have a film or show production to publicize? For affordable price plans for all budgets, get in touch and find out about our introductory advertising options. Reach our audience of film and TV viewers and visit our site contact page at filmandtvreview.com, or you can email us at business@filmandtvreview.com. Reach out today.